¿Los dos? Sí.
Miss
Universe Puerto Rico 2019 es Miss Toda Baja, Madison Anderson.
Y como estrella que...
On June 14, 2019, the title of Miss Universe Puerto Rico was crowned to Madison Anderson of Toa Baja, to the disappointment of many people residing on the island. Hashtag No Me Representa went viral. A lot of people thought that someone who wasn't born and raised on the island, someone who didn't even speak fluent Spanish, shouldn't be representing Puerto Ricans. I asked a few stateside Puerto Ricans what they thought of the backlash.
Well, I think that she is representing Puerto Rico, like whether or not there's like upset about it. And I think that there's a lot of things happening these days that are bringing up like issues around identity and such.
Gabriela Alvarez is a Puerto Rican chef and activist born and raised in New York. Ever since Hurricane Maria, her org, Liberation Cuisine, has been helping to feed people affected by the storm. She brings up a point about colorism being one factor.
I think about like how in the past, like really dark-skinned women have been discriminated against, or like people have spoken up. Madison, like, she is not that. Like, she's very like white presenting, tall, thin, like light hair. So that was like one thought. You know, beauty pageants are expensive, and just like who is representing Puerto Rico? Is it just people from like a middle or upper class background who have access to these pageants and access to everything that it takes to move through that system? So what are we saying about Puerto Rican identity and Puerto Rican representation in terms of race? What are we saying in terms of Puerto Rican identity in terms of class? I understand the like discussion around like we want and need people from Puerto Rico to fill those positions. When people are saying like she doesn't deserve to be Puerto Rican or she's not Puerto Rican enough, that's the part where I'm like, I understand what you're saying, and also we don't need to strip someone's identity in order to make a point.
Puerto Rican identity is complex. Our roots are in African, indigenous, and European culture. We come in all shapes and colors. Someone who identifies as Afro-Boricua might not feel represented by a white passing person. The question of who gets represented in mainstream and how becomes a little more complicated.
But what we're talking about with Madison is different because we're talking about somebody with Puerto Rican heritage.
That's Edgardo Miranda Rodriguez. He's a graphic novelist, activist, and creator of the Puerto Rican superhero La Borinquena.
We're not talking about somebody who's just transplanting themselves, moving from, you know, Colorado to Puerto Rico, or from like Orlando to Humboldt Park. We're talking about somebody who is, to an extent, part of the diaspora. I'm looking at the two of us. You and I are different complexions, different hair textures. You know, you're more negra than I am and stuff. Pero as a light-skinned Puerto Rican, and I have the DNA test to prove it, I still have African DNA. A major part of my DNA is African, as is Taino, obviously as is Spanish and European. So that's why I personally identify as Boricua, because my DNA speaks to that experience. But I think overwhelmingly it's not too easy a conversation to have.
Many people grew up like Gabriela, who lived in Brooklyn but spent summers with her grandparents in Bayamón.
At home in New York, we spoke Spanish, we ate rice and beans, we listened to like, actually we listened to a lot of like Puerto Rican music, but actually in particular a lot of like New Yorican salsa. From like the 70s when my dad was growing up, that was kind of a lot of what we listened to. And so that was definitely impactful in terms of identity. And in particular, like, New Yorican identity, because the sing-song of the language is different on the island. The pace of life is different on the island. The food is different on the island. The trips into the mountains and to the beach is different. Si te quieres divertir. And then as I got older, I would make trips on my own and spent a short time living there, and the politics and how people engage with politics is different on the island. In my life and in the work that I do, like, I acknowledge that difference, and not to say that one is better or worse.
She realized that both those things were part of being Puerto Rican. I can relate. The childhood she describes sounds very similar to mine. This idea of taking traditions from the island and giving them a New York twist. It definitely is a different experience being New Yorican. It seems this question about who is Puerto Rican or not comes largely out of fear. Fear of being erased and replaced. Which is valid, especially after Hurricane Maria, when many people were pushed once again to leave their homes and move here. Maria served as a huge wake-up call for many Puerto Ricans both on the island and in the diaspora, that our American citizenship and affiliation would not keep us safe.
And when you look at the immediate response that didn't happen after Hurricane Maria, by the federal government under this current administration, FEMA failed Puerto Rico initially. And it was the diaspora. That means those of us living in the continent of the United States, the 6 million of us that stepped up, that booked flights, that literally checked in with generators, with cases of water, and personally delivered these to families, to neighborhoods, from Fat Joe to Crazy Legs, who actually brought scientists to Puerto Rico with water filtration devices to train thousands of families how to filter water. So it wasn't just about creating more litter by bringing more plastic bottles, but Legs was like, let's work with what we got and make it a better Puerto Rico.
The shift in consciousness would mean that if Puerto Ricans want to survive anything from a natural disaster to a corrupt government, we'd have to lean on each other. And to do that, we'd have to get past the conversation about what divides us and focus on what unites us.
And maybe if we really, like, figured this out as a diaspora or as a community, like, we could be mobilizing in huge waves. Like, maybe we could be really making major strides to, like, support the organizing work happening in Puerto Rico.
That's exactly what happened. We mobilized.
Protesters shut down a main highway that connects San Juan to the rest of the island. It appeared to be the largest demonstration yet, and the message was very clear. They won't stop until the governor steps down.
As I'm recording this, protesters filled the streets of San Juan and cities around the world demanding change. They grew tired of the corruption in the government that led to schools being shut down, hospitals being closed, and help not getting to those who needed it during the devastation that was Maria. Governor Rosselló finally announced his last day in office will be August 2nd. This feels like it's just the beginning of a new chapter.
This is the first time that a revolution on the island of Puerto Rico in our lifetime was led by such an amazing number of people in such a peaceful manner, has succeeded.
And although I'm not physically there with them, I, like many others in the diaspora, always carry Puerto Rico in my mind and my heart.
And the Young Lords always had this button that said, Tengo Puerto Rico en mi corazón. I remember when, and this is just me being nerdy and a hip-hop head, I remember when Jay-Z did that song in the 90s, Ain't No N-Word Like the One I Got. I changed the lyrics in my head, and I would be like, Tengo Puerto Rico en mi corazón, you know, and that was me. That was my remix, Tengo Puerto Rico en mi corazón, you know, and I was like...